This is a life-changing message from New Life Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. There is a light in me. And now let's join Lady Bridget Hilliard. There is a voice, guide your way. Come with joy, we'll refresh. Let your heart be
changed. All right, Luke chapter 22, starting at verse 31, and it says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan had desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." And would you underline "thy faith fail not" in your Bible? "And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother." And so we've been in a series of lessons for the last several weeks on how to avoid faith failure. And of course, we've been talking about the mechanics of faith in this particular division. And this is lesson number 4. And so if you'll go with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 5, because in this particular series of teaching, we've been addressing the various aspects of the faith walk, giving us a comprehensive understanding of the dynamics of faith, which will equip us as believers to accurately function according to biblical faith. Everybody say biblical faith. Now, here's the thing. The only way that you are going to avoid faith failure in your life, the only way that you're going to avoid getting to the point where your faith fails you, is that you will be taught how to operate in faith and understand the process of faith. And that's why being a part of a church like New Life is so important, because we major on making sure that you understand how faith works. Everybody say understand how faith works. Now, you should be in Mark chapter 5 by now, right? All right, in this particular text, you're going to see the various ways that people operated in faith, or how they released their faith. And then you're going to also see how Jesus coached them along so that their faith would not fail in the process. Everybody say Jesus was the coach. And tonight, Pastor B is the coach, because our faith will not fail. All right, now, those of you who may not be accustomed to my teaching style, since I've been in Beaumont, I like for people to talk back to me. So when I ask you to say something, I need you all to repeat it loud. Amen? All right, Mark chapter 5. I'm going to start reading at verse 21. It says, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." Now, Jairus' faith was that if Jesus would just get to his house, lay his hands on his daughter, he believed that his daughter would be healed and she would live. So where was Jairus' faith? Jesus getting to his house, laying hands on his daughter, and she would be made whole. So now, where was Jairus' faith? Ooh, y'all are weak. I'm going to go back to Beaumont into the South location. Jairus' faith in Jesus was that if Jesus could just get to his house, lay hands on his daughter, he believed that his daughter would be made whole. Well, how many of you know that when you're standing in faith for something, it may not always work out just like you think it's going to work out? And so what happens here is there comes an interruption. Everybody say, there comes an interruption. But when there's an interruption, you don't have to stop releasing your faith. You continue to release your faith, because your faith is that, according to Jairus, his faith was that if you could just get to my house, lay hands on my daughter, I believe my daughter will be made whole. So Jesus accepted the commission from Jairus. Okay, I'm on my way to your house. So in your own life, when you release your faith, you got to understand the process has already started. Say, the process has already started. And even though it looks like it's an interruption, it doesn't stop the process from working. Everybody say, the process already started. All right, now look at verse 25. "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be made whole." Now, where was the woman's faith? The woman's faith was that if I could just get to touch his clothes, then I'll be made whole. Jairus' faith was that if you just get to my house, my daughter will be made whole. But the woman's faith was that if I could just get a touch of his clothes, I'll be made whole. Well, guess what? She got there ready to touch Jesus' garment, and people were all around. People were everywhere, but she didn't let her faith fail on that. She just continued to press her way. Everybody say, don't let your faith fail, because it looks like there's an interruption. All right, then let's continue to read on. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, and turned about in the press and said unto her, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, wait a minute, Lord. Now you see all these people and you got the nerve to stop and ask who touched my clothes? But somebody touched his clothes with a touch of faith. Somebody understood that if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. He understood that people were all around, but Jesus said, somebody touched me in an act of faith. They want to get something from God. Everybody say they wanted to get something from God. Saying that's why I came to Bible study tonight, because I want to get something from God. All right, and so let's read on. And said, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy what? Faith. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now, wait a minute. Jairus was asking him to come to his house. His daughter is still sick, and he's asking Jesus, can you come to my house so my daughter can be healed? But then this woman comes up with this issue of blood, touching him with a touch of faith and believing that if she would just touch his clothes, she'd be made whole. What about Jairus' daughter? Did Jesus forget about Jairus' daughter because the woman stopped and touched the hem of his garment with a touch of faith? So in your own life, just because Susie gets a brand new car, does it mean that your car has been delayed and God has denied it? Everybody say, if I can just keep the faith, I'll see the manifestation of what my faith is believing God for. All right, look at the next verse. It says, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Oh, my God. Could it be because the woman stopped Jesus on the way that the man's daughter died in the process? Could it be that his faith is not going to work because he had faith that if Jesus could just get to his house, now this woman has stopped him, he can't get to the house, so his faith just might fail. Everybody say his faith is not going to fail. All right, because look at what happens. It says, thy daughter is dead, why troublest thou the master? And as soon, everybody say as soon. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. In other words, just because there was a delay in what you're believing God for, don't be afraid, just keep believing. The Amplified version of verse 36 says, overhearing but ignoring what they said, Jesus said unto the ruler of the synagogue, don't be seized with alarm and struck with fear, only keep believing. Everybody say, keep believing. Turn over to Mark chapter 11, because faith gives you access to the supernatural life that Jesus died to give you. Now, the supernatural is not always spectacular, but it is supernatural because it's divine in its origin. So whatever you're releasing your faith for, to live a supernatural life, and because we're believers, we are distinctively different from the world. The world may not understand it, but I'm living a supernatural life. Everybody say, I'm living a supernatural life too. Amen. So you have to understand, even though others may not understand it, even though others may try to talk you out of it, you cannot let your faith fail just because other people don't want to live a supernatural life. You have to make a decision. I'm going to live a supernatural life. Everybody say, I'm living a supernatural life. So we learned so far that the just shall live by faith. In other words, those of us who have been declared righteous, we ought to be living by faith. Everybody say, I'm living by faith. Then we found out that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And then we also found out that without faith, you cannot overcome the challenges in life. Because my faith is what causes me to overcome, according to 1 John 5:4. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So if I'm going to overcome what the world puts at me and throws my way, it's going to be as a result of me using my faith. Amen? So we started studying the different aspects of faith, the systematic faith. So you should be in Mark chapter 11 by now, right? All right, verse 22. And Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. And if you haven't underlined it in your Bible yet, go on and underline it. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. So we started studying the specifics of the fundamental of the God kind of faith. That's what that scripture says. Have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. And so we've discovered so far that there's an asking element. Everybody say the asking element. And that's the launching pad for our faith, because the Bible says whatsoever things you desire when you pray. So we ask according to the word of God, amen? And then we also discovered on last week the believing component. Everybody say the believing component. And so that's the second step of it, because you believe you receive when you pray. Now, the easiest way for me to help you to understand the believing component is just like as if you put something in the layaway, right? When you put something in the layaway, you don't take it to your house. But they tag it over in a warehouse that it belongs to you. Now, just so I can make sure everybody understands the layaway plan, anybody in here never put anything in the layaway? Okay, here's how the layaway plan works for the one person who's never used a layaway, and that's because she grew up in the Word of God, and she's already walking in abundance, so she wouldn't understand having to use the layaway. But those of us who haven't had the Word all of our lives, we understand we needed the layaway plan back in the day. So the layaway plan works like this. You go to the store, you pick out an item. When you pick the item out, you go to the cashier, you give them a down payment on the item. They take the item, put it in their warehouse, and they give you a tag. And then they say, if you continue to make your payments on your layaway, then one day it'll come out of the warehouse into your house. So faith is the same way. The first day that you asked for it, you just made a down payment on your layaway. That was your down payment. And then the next day, you go and you believe God for it. You believe it's over in that unseen arena, because the angels have tagged it for you. Everybody say, the angels have tagged it for me. And so now we're going to get to the next component. We're going to make our payments. Everybody say, we're going to make our payments. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So we're going to understand this confession element. Everybody say, the confession element. All right, and while you're turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in the context of this teaching, faith is the spiritual principle that taps into the creative power of God made available through man, whereby man can transform conditions, circumstances, and situations in the natural realm that he has been given authority over. Y'all write that definition down? All right, I'm going to give it to you again. Everybody say, faith in the context of this series is a spiritual principle that taps into the creative power of God made available through man, or made available through me, whereby I can transform my conditions, my circumstances, my situations in the natural realm that I have authority over. Now, speaking words of faith are very much a part of this process. Did you get that? Speaking words of faith are very much a part of this process, because if you can put pressure on your mouth to speak what God's word says, what you believe in that you receive when you pray, if you can put pressure on your mouth to say that out of your mouth, then eventually it will come out of the warehouse into your house. Now, you are not lying when you make a faith confession. You are just agreeing with the word of God. Everybody say, I'm just agreeing with the word of God. And then a faith confession is also not denial. It's not a cover-up plan, but it's agreement with what God's word says. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. says, we have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore what? We also believe in what? All right, the Message translation of verse 13, the latter part says, we say what we believe. Everybody say, I say. What I believe. All right, look over at Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18, and I've got two simple points for tonight's lesson. Point number one is the dynamic doctrine of the faith-filled words, which is the concept. In other words, we're going to go through the Word of God so you can see the concept of faith-filled words. And then point number two is the disciplined development of faith-filled words, which is the confession. So we're going to actually show you how to put a faith confession together. Everybody say, praise God. Amen. That's because we love you so much. Because we don't want your faith to fail. We want you to have the right confession coming out of your mouth. All right? Proverbs chapter 18. Did you get those 2 points? All right. I would have you repeat them, but y'all a little slow on y'all repetition. So I'm going to need y'all to be a little bit louder. So point number one, say the dynamic doctrine of faith-filled words, the concept. And then point number two. The discipline, development of faith-filled words, the confession. All right, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So I have power in my mouth to speak death to some situation. I have power in my mouth to speak life to some situations. Everybody say death and life are in the power of my tongue. Now turn over to Hebrews chapter 11, because throughout the Word of God, we see faith-filled words spoken by men and women of God, and it's caused tremendous power to work in the situations that we're in. So if I were you, I would listen to this lesson tonight, because if it's not the most important thing, it is high on the priority of the important things for getting your faith to work. And you cannot let anybody intimidate you from speaking the Word of God out of your mouth. John 6:63 says, the word I speak are spirit and life. So when I speak words of God out of my mouth, I just spoke spirit life into existence. And then, of course, the Bible talks about in Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse 3. Everybody say, faith-filled words are spiritual vehicles that brought forth this earth. All right, look at verse 3. It says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So that sounds like when God, the Father, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ, the Son, stepped out on the earth, according to Genesis chapter 1, they stepped out into an earth that was not like what we see today. And if you look at Genesis chapter 1, it says the earth was without form or void. And so they didn't step out on the earth and they say, oh, it's dark out here. Everything is without form, without void. What did they step out and say? They stepped out and spoke faith-filled words. They said, light be, and light came into existence. Then, of course, they departed the winds and the waves. They said, wind go over here, waves go over here. The sea departed. All of that fish came into existence because of faith-filled words. So if they can speak faith-filled words, then what's wrong with you speaking your world into existence with your mouth? Yeah. If they can speak their world into existence, Jesus Christ lives on the inside of you. You got the mouth and a tongue. You can speak your world into existence. Yeah. Amen. Everybody say, I can speak my world into existence. And faith-filled words, turn over to Romans chapter 10. I know you probably know it, but just in case you don't, faith-filled words were an established part of the salvation process. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So my confession is what got me into the kingdom of God. Now turn over to Colossians chapter 2, because faith-filled words also are an established part of the believer's lifestyle. Colossians chapter 2, look at verse 6. As ye have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So he said the same way that you receive Jesus Christ, that's how you got to live your life. And you receive your Jesus Christ by confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart. So your lifestyle should be a lifestyle of faith-filled words. Say, my lifestyle is a lifestyle of faith-filled words. Now turn over to Psalms 103, Psalms 103, so we can look at the impact of faith-filled words, because the impact of faith-filled words are so diverse. Faith-filled words can transform and change situations. Faith-filled words can transform and change the world that you live in. We just read two scriptures, death and life are in the power of your tongue. So I can speak death to situations or life to situations with what comes out of my mouth. Amen. Amen. All right, look at Psalms 103, because angels are dispatched based on faith-filled words. Psalms 103, verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. So I submit to you that some of your angels are waiting on you to speak some faith-filled words. Some of your angels have just took a break because you're not speaking any words out of your mouth to dispatch them to go and do some stuff. Because the Bible says that the angels hearken to the voice of his word. So when I speak faith-filled words out of my mouth, I just commission my angels to go and get what I spoke out of my mouth. Amen. Amen. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, lest you think that you don't have an angel. Everybody say, I got an angel. And my angel is busy. And after tonight, they're going to really be busy. All right, look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13. To which of you the angel said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? How many folk in the house know they're born again? How many folk in the house know that they've accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior? If you have not done it before you leave tonight, we're going to give you an opportunity to do it. And the Bible says that you've been assigned an angel, a ministering spirit, because you're an heir of salvation. Because I stepped into the kingdom of God, God assigned some ministering spirits to me. And so if I could just see my ministering spirits, just like the layaway clerk in the Walmart or in Kmart, they are busy working to get my stuff out of the Walmart layaway, out of the heavens layaway, over into my house. So every time I speak a faith-filled word out of my mouth and I say, God, I just want to thank you that the favor of God is upon my life. My angels heard that word and they got busy. They went over in the warehouse and they say, she just made a payment on the favor of God. And so they're busy trying to find somebody somewhere to use their power, their ability, and their influence to help me. Because I spoke the word out of my mouth. I just dispatched my angels. Well, guess what? Faith-filled words can also stop demonic activity. Luke chapter 10, verse 17, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and on scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, so I can stop the devil's attack on my life by speaking faith-filled words out of my mouth. Everybody say, I'm going to start speaking some stuff. All right, turn over to, Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Everybody say, faith-filled words. Dispatch angels. Faith-filled words. Stops demonic forces. Faith-filled words are a part of the faith-releasing process. And faith-filled words cause me to exercise my spiritual authority. And faith-filled words also establish my heart in faith. All right, I'm going to give you all those scriptures. Of course, number one, of course, we already read about the angels, but the one for faith is released, Mark 11:23, which we already read, spiritual authority, Luke 10:17, which I quoted, and then Romans 10:17, of course, establishing your heart, and then Mark 4 says that when the word of God is sown in our heart, so when I speak the word of God out of my mouth, I just sowed it into my heart, amen? All right, so this part of the lesson that we're going to get into now is talking about how you can apply this to your life. Everybody say, it takes discipline. Now, it takes discipline for you to speak the word of God out of your mouth in the face of difficult situations. When things don't look like they're supposed to look, you need to continue to speak faith-filled words. When you look at your checking account, and it says minus, then you got to remember, I'm not going to speak what's in this account. I'm going to speak what's on layaway for me over in that unseen arena. My God supplies all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I'm a giver, so men are giving into my bosom. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. My God is causing me to triumph in every situation. This is not God's will for my life. I declare I'll have thousands in this check account for the kingdom of God and thousands in this checking account for me. Everybody say faith-filled words. Take discipline. Now, when I speak faith-filled words, according to the Greek, the Bible, the Greek word for faith-filled words or for faith confession is homologiae. Everybody say homologiae. It don't mean nothing to you because it's not a word that you use all the time, but it simply means to say in agreement with God. So when I make a faith confession, I'm just saying in agreement with what God said. So I'm not lying, I'm just agreeing with God. I am the righteousness of God. Well, I might have did something yesterday that messed me up. That's okay, I'm saying something in agreement with the word of God. He said if I would confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me, cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I might have messed up yesterday, but I confessed it and now I'm back righteous just like I was before I messed up. And then the good thing about it is that he remembers my sins and iniquities no more. So no sense in me reminding him of what I did yesterday. He's already forgotten about it. I may as well forget about it. So I just declare, I'm the righteousness of God. I'm fully loved by the Father. I'm loved by God regardless of how I've been performing. I declare that I am God's favorite. I am God's favorite because the Bible says that when I worship God, that I become a friend of God. And when I become a friend of God, he tells me his secrets. So I worship God every day. So I just became God's favorite. Everybody say, I'm too. Now say, I am too. I have to keep y'all in good English, so praise God. All right, everybody say discipline. Discipline is enforced obedience, so you have to force yourself. Even when you don't feel like it, you have to force yourself to speak faith-filled words out of your mouth. So when your body is in pain, do you speak the pain? I declare by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. Get a bad report from the doctor. Thank you for your report, but I believe by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. I realize that you got the fact on my situation, but I got the truth on my situation. The truth is that Jesus already bore every sickness, every infirmity in his own body on the tree with his stripes. With his stripes. All right, Romans chapter 4, verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead that, and calleth those things that be not as though they were. This is what normally trips people up on the faith confession. Because they think, if I say something that's not, because right now I'm in pain. Why can't I just say I'm hurting? Because in reality, I'm hurting. You understand? It's real. I really am hurting. Yeah, but my reality is not what's going on around here. My reality is what's going on over there. And over there, I got some healing on the layaway. And if I speak my healing, I made a payment on my layaway, and it just got closer from the warehouse over into my house. And my reality is that Jesus already bore every sickness and infirmity in his own body on the tree. And my reality is, it's with his stripes I'm healed. So my reality, even though you got the facts, my truth is going to change the facts. Everybody say, my truth. It's going to change the fact. All right, let's go through this process of making a faith confession. All right, so, okay, I think I can make it, yeah. All right, everybody say developing a faith confession. All right, first of all, here's the thing that you got to understand about a faith confession. My faith confession is going to eradicate all imaginations. Because here's the thing. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, that we fight the fire with fiery dart, fight the fiery darts of the enemy with the what? Shield of faith. How do we hold up the shield of faith? We hold up the shield of faith with what comes out of our mouths. Because the fiery darts of the enemy are just contrary thoughts to the will of God. So when the devil comes with thoughts that are not in agreement with the word of God, I raise up the shield of faith by confessing the word of God out of my mouth. And then the Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we cast down imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And then the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, take no thought saying. Just because the thought comes to my mind, if I don't say it out of my mouth, I don't take the thought. So when the devil puts a fiery dart in my mind to say, you are broke, busted, and disgusted, I am not going to say out of my mouth that I am broke, busted, and disgusted. I am going to say out of my mouth so I can cast that thought down. My God supplies all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Every time the thought comes, I remind the devil, no, I'm a giver. And because I'm a giver, the Bible says men give to me good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And we've been declaring since January the 1st, we're living in our best days. So when I look at the calendar, it just gave me one more day to prove to the world that I'm living in my best day. So when I woke up this morning, I just had another opportunity to prove to the world I'm living in my best days. Everybody say me too.
Me too.
All right, so how do we develop a faith confession? Number one, everybody say number one. I must locate the promise in the word of God. Very good. All right, everybody say it, locate the promise in the word of God. So how am I going to find the promise if I don't know it? And I got a situation where I need the word of God. I need to confess it right now. Well, we got all kind of CDs out there in the bookstore, all kind of books in the bookstore for you to get. And we got membership services, you can call them. So if you're in a desperate situation, you don't know what to say before you say what you thought, pick up the phone. Call membership services and say, look, this is what's going on. I need some help. But then here's what we did for you to make it easier for you. This week, you know, we've been telling you guys to listen to 1 hour of the Word of God, right? Well, of course, me and Bishop been listening to an average of 2 hours of the Word of God for probably like the last 30 years or so. And so when we told y'all to listen to an hour, I had to bump it up to another at least 30 minutes to another hour. So I started listening to some confessions that I did in 2008. And I said, oh, my God, we're teaching on confession. This would help the members of the church. So what I did, I asked the audit processing department, can y'all duplicate the CD on the confessions? So for free, everybody say for free. That's how bad we want you to have it. That's how good of a church you have. For free. Tonight, you're going to get the confession on CD. It covers every area of your life. That's some love. I'm telling y'all, that's because I love y'all. So before you leave tonight, you're going to get the confession. You're going to say it over and over again. At least it'll be the start to helping you learn how to confess the word. All right. Then number two, everybody say number two. You must evaluate your measure to believe the promise that you're speaking out of your mouth. Can I really believe what I'm saying out of my mouth? And if I can't believe it right now, if I keep saying it and keep saying it, I'm going to transform my belief. All right? Then number three. Everybody say number three. You must formulate your confession statement. So how do you formulate a confession statement? Number one, you're going to make it personal. You're not going to say that Liz is the righteousness of God. You're going to say, I am the righteousness of God. I am a new creature predestined for greatness. I am a child of God fully loved by the Father. So make it personal. Everybody say, make it personal. Then you're going to make it present tense. Everybody say, make it present tense. Because faith is now. Faith is not future. Everybody say, faith is now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Everybody say, now faith.
Now faith.
Then number three, under the formulation of the confession statement, it must agree with the word of God. Very good. Hi, must agree with the word of God. And then number four, under number three, you must make it simple. So it don't have to be all doctrinally complex. You ain't got to go say, before the hills and all stood and earth received a frame, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. What does that mean to you right now in your situation? Everybody say, make it simple. All right, and then number four. I'm on number four now. Those were all number one, two, four, one through four under number three. All right, so y'all got it? Number one was make sure that you locate the promise in the word. Number two was evaluate your measure to believe the promise. Number three is formulate the confession statement. And under formulating the statement, those were the things you're going to do. All right? And then number four, you must articulate the faith statement. Everybody say articulate the faith statement. And that is the boldness to consistently speak the word out of your mouth. So how often should you do it? When you pray, you ought to do it because you already believed you received. So now you're just thanking God that it's on the way. All right? And then every time you think about it, every time it comes to your mind, the negative report comes to your mind, you need to say it out of your mouth. And then you need to say it when anybody asks you about what's going on in your life. So somebody say, come walking up to you, say, girl, you look like you broke his Job's turkey. I'm highly favored of the God. Every need in my life is met. I'm walking in supernatural abundance. The favor of God is on my life. God is raising up somebody somewhere to use their power, their ability, and their influence. And they say, girl, you lying? You ain't had a job in a whole year. How is God supplying all your needs? God is raising up somebody somewhere. He's opening doors of opportunity for me. It's just a matter of time before I walk in the door because I declare I'm living in my best days. My bishop already prophesied, this is the year of the double. I'm expecting a twofold recompense in every area of my life. I'm walking in the double. Well, you don't look like you got two pennies to rub together right now. That's okay. I believe I received the double in my life and I'm walking in the double. I'm going to have more money in my hands than I've had in a long, long time. It's just a matter of time before it manifests. It's already in the layaway. Now, you've already been trained to tell everybody what everybody else says anyway. You might as well say what God says. You'll be so quick to say what a doctor say, I got the hooby dooby scooby. The doctor say that this is wrong and this is wrong and this is wrong. Go to an attorney's office. Well, the attorney say if I don't do this, this, and this, then this is going to happen to me. And, you know, my teacher said so-and-so for your teenage. Well, I declare you're more wiser than all of your peers. And I declare that you're greater than anybody that says that you're not greater. I declare that you'll excel in all that you do. And you got to speak it out of your mouth. Why not say what God's word says? Put some pressure on the word. God wouldn't have said it if he wasn't going to do it. And I'm out of time, so I got to stop talking. Hallelujah.